This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
We're going to continue our series on the short list, which I said has become a long series as we've gotten into prayer. We'll read our text and then we'll pray. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We talked for a while on rejoice always. We've been talking about prayer and in particular the Lord's Prayer. And so tonight we want to talk about forgive, lead, and deliver us. Let's pray before we do that, and we'll just prepare our hearts. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight for the opportunity to look into your word, to see your truth. And we're grateful, Father, that our hearts are open, our minds are receptive. And Lord, we thank you that your word, the entrance of your word, brings light to us. We see things like we have never seen things before. Thank you, it changes our perspective. Thank you, it changes our outlook. Thank you, it changes how we operate in life. And we thank you for it. So tonight, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit and His anointing and His ability to teach us and to lead us, and that we have the ability to receive and to understand and do. So we open up our hearts to receive from you. We expect great things tonight. We expect to leave here different than how we came in. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now you're going to have to just kind of work on focusing, because some of you are not sitting in your seat. How many of you know that whenever you've been in conferences where you go in, everyone sits in a seat, you go to lunch, where does everyone go back to? Same seat. How many of you, no show of hands, you've been sitting in the same seat for years here in this church? And we drop these screens. You're like, what are they doing dropping these screens? We're messing with you. We're just trying to break you. No, we're breaking you out of your mold here. This is how you get out. Sometimes it's good to drive home a different way. You see things from a different perspective. So work with me tonight here. Don't get uncomfortable just because you're not in your seat. It's going to be good. I will not come back there to where you are. Some of you are convinced. If I sit close to him, he may come back to me. Well, let's just try that right now. Woo. See, I got these brave young men here on the front row. That's right. That's why they're, so they're not distracted. I like the front row. So I sit in the back, I watch people. Like, why is she getting up to go to the bathroom? That's the fourth time she's been. That's just not right. All right. Lord's Prayer. Let's look at this. Why don't we just say it together? "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Last week we talked about forgiveness. I don't feel like we finished it. Forgive us as we forgive. So let's just go into that a little bit. What is forgiveness? It's the releasing of a debt. It's to mark it off. It is to cancel it. But it also is the releasing of a debt, giving up the hope of repayment. So when you forgive someone, one of the things that you want to release is the desire to emotionally punish or wish for someone's destruction. Now that's where it gets tough. Because if people have done things to you, Joy and I have shared the story, I believe it was last year, about some of the things that happened to my daughter. And I have one daughter, and men and their daughters tend to be a little bit protective. And it's a father-daughter thing. And my daughter, very close with my daughter, and she was in an abusive relationship, and I didn't know it. And so when I found out, you know, I had to do a couple of things. One, you're not thinking good thoughts. You're not thinking pastoral thoughts. We watched, this was about the time that movie Taken had come out. Remember that? I was inspired. I was thinking, there's some ideas. And then my daughter actually had the gall to look at me. She said, I wish you were like that. I said, if I was like that, your ex-boyfriend would be walking with a bad limp right now. Because if you don't have a kneecap, it's hard to walk. But the thoughts that go through your head, and so, especially when someone has done something to you, when you have reached the point where, and listen, you can forgive them, you say, Lord, I forgive them, the thoughts will come. And you're just going to have to take those thoughts and begin to do what the Bible says, take them captive and cast them down. Because if you keep thinking those thoughts, then the offense that they did to you lives on and on and on. And then it can be tormenting. And you can lie in bed at night thinking about what you will do or what you would say or how you'd like for them to go down. And you want to, you just want to release them. Here's the deal. It's hurting you at that point more than it's hurting them. I'm telling you, you talk about clog you up spiritually, unforgiveness will clog you up spiritually. It's no good. There's another phrase, many of you, every time we would say the Lord's Prayer, we do this a couple of years ago, when we'd say it in church, some of you were raised to say it this way, and forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass, that's still an interesting word. Trespass is a wrongdoing. It's sin. Also, a trespass is to enter an area to which you have no legitimate right. Now, here's a classic example of abuse. It's when someone has entered an area where there is no legitimate right. And rape, all of these things are trespasses. They have abused. And people can do that. And so the idea is, say, well, what do I do with someone who has abused or abused my child or abused me? How in the world do I begin to do that? Please understand this. Forgiveness is not something you do cavalier. It's something that you forgive. Often the thoughts will come back, and you'll have to catch yourself and stop and say, no, Lord, I forgive them. But here's the thing. If you'll keep doing that, what will happen is, and that's where the benefit of praying that prayer is, thank you, Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive them. Lord, you'll get to the place where you don't even think about them. And that's a good place to be. But here's another deal. Sometimes we have trespassed on other people. And wherever we have trespassed, wherever we have stepped over someone's boundaries, wherever we have done something, it's a good thing for us to say. And sometimes we're not even aware of it. And we just say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive. Now, here's the last thing I want to talk about forgiveness, too. It's important that you receive God's forgiveness in your life. In Ephesians, the first chapter, people will talk to me and they'll say things like, you don't know how I've lived. I mean, your life sounds tame compared to mine. And what I've done and what I've done to people. And so here's a wonderful verse in Ephesians. It says, in Him we have redemption. Talking about in Christ we have redemption. We've been purchased through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So whenever you begin to think that your sins are so big that even God can't forgive you, and I've heard people say, I don't know how God can forgive me. Don't do this. Don't elevate your past life, your sins, above the power of the blood of Jesus. The Bible said that's spotless, precious blood, and it's stronger than any sin that can happen. And so whenever you begin to think, and you know the enemy, he's a classic at this. He loves to bring back memories. And you'll be just going along, just doing fine. And he'll bring back something that you did. And if you start focusing on it, next thing you know, you're starting to feel bad. Like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe, man, I was horrible. I can't believe I did that. I mean, he'll have you just tied up in knots. And what you have to do is, especially if it was your before Christ days, you have to say, hey, that man does not exist anymore. That woman does not exist anymore. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And that is under the blood. I am forgiven, and we're done. There's a classic phrase. There's a classic phrase. You used to hear it in old church terms. Hear the term, under the blood. Put that one under the blood. Well, what it entails is we've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So your past life is past. And the Bible said God doesn't even remember it. You say, how can God not remember? Because he chooses not to. He said he will not. So in other words, when you come to the Lord and start telling about all the stuff you used to do, he's going to look and go, that hard drive's been wiped clean. I got nothing in there. Amen. In high school, we used to have a permanent record. You remember your permanent record? They used to threaten us. Mr. Clayton, that's going to go in your permanent record. Somewhere in North Carolina, there is a permanent record of me. But I am so glad when I go to the Lord and I remind him of stuff I used to do. He doesn't look at me and go, yeah, I got that in my permanent record. He goes, I have no recollection of that stuff, because he opens your file and it's blood covered. You can't see a thing. The blood of Jesus has cleansed it up. It's good. So whatever you've done, thank God you can receive forgiveness for your past, and then important to receive forgiveness from your present sins. Say, well, you know, I'm not worried about my past. I just keep messing up now. Aren't you glad God's made provision for those of us who mess up now? Here's a verse. I don't even have to look up there. I got this one memorized. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means when you mess up, we got a place we can go to. Don't hide from God. Go to him and to say, Lord, man, I'm sorry. I messed up. I confess it. And by the way, when you confess it, it's not when he finds out about it. He doesn't go, He knows. When you confess it is when you get rid of it. And you just say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you can receive forgiveness. Now, here's just a thought. This will help you. When you do this, do not expect your feelings to change automatically. And listen, forget feelings on this. His word is a higher reality than our feelings. So we just take his word. We go, thank you, Lord. I'm forgiven. How do you feel? Forget how I feel. I feel like Bunny Rowe, but I'm forgiven. Doesn't matter how I feel. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Remember we talked about faithfulness? There's no one more faithful than God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. So receiving the Lord's forgiveness is good. Let's talk about this next one. You'll like this one. And lead us not into temptation. Okay. So I need to jump in this one, because this one's often a misunderstood verse. We're looking to the Lord for his leadership here, but we're not pleading with the Lord not to tempt us. Let me give you a verse here. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. When we're praying, Lord, lead us not in temptation, what we're basically saying is, Lord, lead us away from those things that tempt us in life. I talk with people after service. I'm almost always down here after service, Sundays and Wednesdays. And I had the guy walk up. Man, he was kind of upset. He'd been dealing with some addiction things. And he just kind of came, had an attitude. He's like, yeah. So I don't know why God did that to me. I said, did what? He said, brought my old weed-smoking friends around my house. I was doing good, but then all my weed-smoking friends show up, and I fell. I'm like, time out, Hoss. God isn't sending your weed-smoking friends by your house to get you to smoke weed. No. No. I mean, you know, God's got better things to do than send weed-smoking people by your house. He is not going to tempt you with evil. Of course, two, you always have the option of stepping outside your door and going, I'm not going, and shut the door. Just say it. It's an option. You didn't have to go. But when we're praying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, we're saying, Lord, lead us away from the things that tempt us in life. And here's the deal. Everybody has things that tempt them in life. So one of the best things to stay away from it is to stay away from temptation. Look at James 1:14. This is what he says next. He says, Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. How are we tempted? Well, listen, and guys, listen, here's why we don't judge. Things that may tempt you don't tempt me. Things that may tempt someone else, and you're just looking at them going, I just can't believe they do that. I just can't believe. Watch it. Just watch it, because you're next. It's just, this is why we're not qualified to judge. Judge is above our pay grade. That's why we look at other people. We see them falling. And he said, alcohol never has tempted me. When I would drink alcohol and drink it to excess, I would throw up. You talk about a guy who could not hold his liquor? They used to call me Cookies because I tossed them all the time right behind the... So when I came back, you could wave, man, you could open up any bottle of liquor you want to, and you could wave it in front of my nose. Doesn't bother me at all. But leave the reefer alone. That was more of a temptation to me. Oh, don't look so innocent. y'all can look so holy sometimes, like. Aren't you glad that the Lord never throws up on the screen your sins? So don't put them on Facebook. So. The idea is what tempts you doesn't tempt me, what tempts me doesn't tempt you. So that here's the best way. When we're praying, Lord, lead us away from temptation, what we're saying is one of the best ways to avoid temptation is to not have to deal with it. Yes. If you know you've got a weak area in an area, then that's when you want to start saying, Lord, help me with this area. Help me get away from this area. When you know you're weak in an area, this is what we're praying. This is why we're praying this, Lord, lead me away from this. I don't want to fall in this area. I know weaker areas. I know weaker points. I know, and all of us do. We know when pressure hits and maybe things go wrong. That's when I tell, watch it. Because oftentimes we'll run back to the place where we got pressure relief. And we understand. So if you know those times, if you know your weak times, you begin to pray, Lord, lead me away from this. So there was a phrase, I think it was popular in the 90s. Remember, don't go there. Everyone used to say, don't go there. Somebody tried to send me like, don't go there. It got old fast. But it's actually a good phrase when it comes to temptation. Don't go there. Yeah. If you know, man, if you know that alcohol is a temptation for you, you don't want to be one to be witnessing to your friends in a bar. I'm going in to witness, Alan. No. No, because somebody's going to be waving something in front of your nose. You'll be like, oh, it smells good. If you're an ex-smoker, how many of you know you ex-smokers know you don't want to go to a place where people are smoking because you'll be sitting over there just trying to go. Don't go there. It's a good phrase. But here's a place to go, and I love this. There is a place we can go. By the way, many of you know about Billy Graham, about one of the reasons his ministry stayed so strong for so long, was he set up patterns and things that and checklists to keep him away from temptation. And he recognized, you know, they wanted Billy to be in Hollywood, handsome guy. He never would go anywhere. He wouldn't get on an elevator by himself. He wouldn't stay in a motel room by himself. He set it up so that he would not have the opportunity to be tempted by the opposite sex. That's just smart. Yes. Here at the Ark, we have glass on all of our offices. And if we're talking with a member of the opposite sex, the door is open. Yes. You say, well, that's kind of old-fashioned. No, that's kind of safe. Yes. I don't care if you think it's old-fashioned. It works for us because we set up guidelines. You're not going to be we don't let our staff go to, you know, if it's you and someone of the opposite sex, you're not going to lunch together. You take people. What are you doing? You're setting up checklists, keeping away from temptation. But you say, well, what do I do if I don't have something like set up? Where can I go? Glad you asked. Here's a great question. Here's a great verse in Hebrews. Look at this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, it's talking about Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a wonderful verse. But here's the strength of that verse. It's just like the enemy to tempt you, and then when you feel tempted, then to beat you up because you felt tempted. You just, best thing to do when I'm talking like this, just look straight ahead and nod your head, just nod. But the enemy will do that. He'll tempt you, and then you feel like a dog because you got tempted. And he'll tell you, oh yeah, you're a dog. Can't believe you were tempted to do that. The Bible said Jesus was tempted. Remember, he came in human flesh. He dealt with weakness like we are. He was tempted. This is why he's such a good high priest. He understands what we have been through. He understands temptation. It's not a, if it was a sin to be tempted, then Jesus would have sinned. He did not sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's only when you yield to it. So when temptation happens, don't beat yourself up thinking, I'm just so bad, I'm so tempted. No, all of us are tempted. We have flesh. But the thing to do is when you're tempted, don't run away from God. Don't be ashamed. That's when the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace so you obtain mercy and find grace to help. That's when instead of running from God going, God, I just feel so bad, you run and go, Lord, help me. I need grace. I need mercy. And it says, come boldly. Don't come ashamed. Just come boldly and say, I need some help right now, Lord. I need help. And you can find grace, mercy, and grace to help in a time of need. But when's a time of need? When you're tempted. There's a time of need. Does that help anybody? So it's real. And all I'm saying, the enemy, but if you can expose him, you can defeat him. You can expose the tactics, you can defeat him. And so when you're feeling tempted, don't beat yourself up. Just go say, Lord, I need help. I need your grace. And he'll help. And then you can begin to set things up and be honest with yourself and be honest with the Lord. This bothers me, Lord. This is a temptation to me. Lord, lead me not. Lead me away from it so I'm not tempted. The last one is this, deliver us from evil. We're praying deliver from evil. Here's something you want to settle in your heart. Settle in your heart the source of evil. Jesus said it the best in John 10:10. He said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Just from a very simple theological standpoint, if you do not have room in your theology for Satan, a devil, the evil one, it will mess your head up because you don't know where the evil's coming from. Jesus made it very clear. He said, I'm the good shepherd. But he said, Satan's the thief. He said, I've come to steal. He said, I didn't come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. He said, the thief comes to steal. Is it stealing from you? Is it robbing you? Is it destroying? It's not the Lord. I get so irritated when a tornado pulls through an area and everyone calls it an act of God. That's not my God. My Father doesn't destroy children with tornadoes. The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Why would Jesus tell us, deliver us from evil if it came from God? He said, pray this way. Lord, deliver us from evil. And so we begin to look at just from what the scriptures say, and you begin to realize this evil is not coming from God. There is evil in the world. In fact, Ephesians 6 chapter, verses 11 through 13, Paul's writing to the Ephesians. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, or that word's schemes of the devil. Now, just stop right there. People say, Alan, I don't believe there's a devil. It doesn't matter whether you believe there's a devil or not. There is one. Right. Jesus didn't talk. We're not coming up with figments of our imagination. And we live in a world that's so sense-ruled and feelings-ruled, and that we're stuck in not realizing there is a spiritual realm, and it's very much real. And there are. Why would we need the armor of God if there weren't stuff that we had to be protected from? He said, stand against the wiles of the devil, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, don't be afraid. That's not saying, oh my gosh, there's an evil day. Oh, there's principalities and powers. They're defeated. And Jesus has given us his armor. We have the armor of God. We've got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the shield of faith. We have a resource, and we have a recourse against evil. But one of the things we're praying is, Lord, deliver us from evil. You don't want us involved in evil. And so there is an evil in this world, but evil is not our destiny. Galatians 1st chapter says this: grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So here's a great expansion of this prayer. Lord, help me walk and help me walk free from the evil that's in this life. Lord, lead me away from temptation. Deliver me from the evil that's in this life. Lord, thank you that, listen, God does not want you tormented so much by fear. He doesn't want you tormented with bipolar. He doesn't want you so tormented mentally that you can't function. That's evil. You wouldn't put it on your kids for all the money in the world. And our Heavenly Father is a better father and parent than any one of us. Deliver us from evil. And you got to make your mind up what evil is. If it's evil, when I had panic attacks, I realized that is not from God. If I thought it from God, I never would have resisted them. So when I determined it's evil, when Joy was struck with sickness and almost, I mean, could have died, we didn't think, oh, this is from the Lord. No, we knew it was evil to take a young mother from three young kids and to pull her out of the world. That's not the will of God. You've got to make up your mind that if it's bad, it's not coming from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. And all that torment, all that junk, and all that stuff that the enemy's been selling you, you need to stop and go, time out, hoss. I ain't buying. Amen. I'm not buying anymore. The Lord, you deliver me from all the evil. Deliver me from the evil that comes against me, the evil that I have to deal with, the evil that's all around me. Thank God he can deliver us from evil. Amen. So it's just a wonderful prayer. If you sense, there's a great verse in the Psalms that says, you push me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. If you ever sense sometimes you just feel like you're being pushed spiritually. It's like everything is just coming around, just pushing, pushing, pushing. That's not God. He does not push, he leads. And when you begin to sense that, say, Lord, thank you. You are not the one who is pushing me. You're the one who is helping me and delivering me, and I'm coming through this. Lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from all evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful tonight that you have in Christ created an environment where we can live free, for who the Son has set free is free indeed. And Lord, thank you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. What a wonderful thing. Thank you, you've delivered us from this present evil age in Christ and transferred us to the kingdom of your dear Son. And we're part of his kingdom. And we pray your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives. Said your bowed eyes are closed this evening. If you came and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, I know that he knows that. Or maybe you're like I was. You had a relationship with the Lord, but then you just drifted away. And you're sitting there tonight going, I know I'm not where I should be with God. I want to come back. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come to the front. But if that's you that I'm talking to tonight and you want in, just need you to have the courage to do one thing, to slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate your honesty. Appreciate your courage. Great. Got it. Anybody else? Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand and you really wanted to, you haven't missed your opportunity. We're going to pray this prayer right of our hearts. We're going to pray it as a church family. We're going to pray it with you. Pray it so you can hear yourself pray it. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. Because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that tonight stepped out of darkness into your marvelous light, for those who've stepped into your forgiveness, and for all of us who can leave here with a greater sense of hope and peace that you will lead us away from temptation and you will deliver us from all evil. Lord, we give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.